Crash, Chapter 32, December 23rd. It happened last Saturday. When I woke up that morning, I heard a hammer going. It was outside, but it sounded pretty close, so I leaned over to my window, pushed the curtain aside, and looked out. Scooter was in the cherry tree, hammering nails into boards. I feared he was making the observation post Abby had been pestering me about. I lay back down. I went to sleep. When I opened my eyes again, I had this funny feeling like I didn't just wake up regular, but something had made me wake up. I looked at my door. It was shut. Nobody in my room. Everything was quiet. Quiet. No hammering. I jumped to the window. He was sitting on the ground, his back up against the tree trunk, and the first thing I felt was, great, he's okay. But questions blew the relief away. Why was he sitting there? Why did he leave that board dangling from one nail above his head? Why was the hammer 5 feet away in the grass? Why wasn't he moving? Downstairs, Abby screamed. I heard the back door open, saw her face across the brown grass, stood there at my window as she raced back to the house, as the ambulance came and the men in white pants and the stretcher with gray straps and the flashing red lights and the siren that sounded like a gazoo going farther and farther away. It was a stroke. That's what they told my parents. My sister and I aren't allowed to see him. A stroke is when an artery in the brain breaks and blood pours out, my dad says. They don't know how long he's going to be in the hospital. They don't know how messed up he'll be. They don't even know if he's going to live. They don't know anything. Like every year, the Christmas tree stands in a corner of the living room. Like every year, all it has on it are white lights and teddy bears. You believe it? When you have a home of your own, you can decorate your tree any way you want, my mother always says, every year. I got news for her. I'm going to be out of here a lot quicker than she thinks. One minute after I graduate from high school, I'll be in my own apartment, me and Mike, and the lights on our tree will be all different colors, and there'll be all kinds of balls and tons of tinsel. You'll think the tree was silver. And on top of the tinsel, popcorn, strings of it, ropes of it, wrapping around the tree like a mummy. There's lights strung across the street downtown, and Santa Claus is hanging from the lampposts. As the mall, they keep playing the same songs over and over. If I hear chestnuts roasting on an open fire one more time, I'm going to do a Christmas barf. The stores in the mall have fake snow in the window corners, like I'm supposed to believe it snowed through the roof, right? The Webbs came over one night, all three of them, with food. Like, what? We can't feed ourselves? My mother invited them in and told them to sit down. She acted like the food was a big deal. She gave them cookies, Christmas cookies that Scooter had made, including chocolate macaroons that he had made just for me. For once, the happy little surprise was not his usual cheery, perky self. He sat on the sofa between his grandparent-looking parents. I didn't talk to him except to grunt at some of his dumb questions. Mostly I glared while he ate my chocolate macaroons. And I entertained myself by trying to picture what he might get for Christmas. Maybe a nice shirt from second time around with only two holes in it, and a nice string bean from Aunt Mabel, and an outburger from Uncle Harvey, and a nice Ban All Malls and Wars decal to paste across his forehead. I didn't touch a crumb of food they brought over. Christmas is the day after tomorrow. I woke up thinking, you didn't buy him a present yet. That means you don't expect him to live. Then that same thought rolled over and showed me what was beneath it. Every minute that you don't get him a present, he's a minute closer to dying. You're killing him. I threw on my clothes, no socks, no underwear, no jacket, and nothing flat was out the door. I hopped on my bike and tore up the street. I pedaled for blocks. I burst into the first store-looking place I came to. There was a lady behind a computer. It didn't look like a store on the inside. I gasped. You got presents? Christmas presents? She looked at me funny. I don't think so. This is a law office. 2 seconds later, I was in the next place. This one was a store. I didn't have time to shop around. It doesn't matter what you buy, just buy now. I grabbed the nearest thing off the counter. It was a pair of bright red high-heeled shoes with glitter all over and a red bow in front. How much? I said. The lady behind the counter just stared. I shoved the shoes in her face and yelled, how much? She blinked. $6. I pulled out my 10 and slammed it down. She took it. She pressed buttons on an old wooden cash register. The register pinged and a sign saying $10 shut up. I took my first breath of the morning. I took the bag from the lady. I closed my eyes and I swear I saw or felt right at that moment something dark and ugly and bottomless back away from a certain hospital door in Springfield. When nobody is in the house, I go to his room sometimes and sit on his bed.